We are on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, 11-8, second line on the page. Yes, theoretically, one of the most important dapim in Shas. I say theoretically because in the end we're going to recant everything we're going to say. But theoretically, very, very important daf because it's going to ask the question that you see at the top of your sheet. How do I know the authority of Rove? How do I know that in any given situation we follow the majority? Now we're going to mix and match two different kinds of majority right at the outset. It's important to realize. One type of majority is the opening one that we're going to mention, which is that on a court you follow the majority to make a decision, right? Acharav Mahatos. And then the other type of majority that we're going to use for the entire rest of the page is that I determine the status of the item in front of me based on the status of the majority of items in the same set. So in other words, if I see a book in front of me, and I want to know how many pages are in the book, I want to know maybe what color the writing is in the book, I want to know what the subject of the book is about, I could actually deduce, I could determine factors about that that book based on what I know about the other books that are members of the same set. Now, how you define a set is a really good question. Is it all the books on the same shelf? Is it all the books in the library with it? That's a great discussion in its own right. But the point is, if I know, let's say that this book came from a box that has 20 other books that look roughly similar, so I can assume that the writing will be the same, it will be of the same, using the same type of ink, I can assume that the subject will be the same. How do you know that halachically that's true? And the Gemara is going to go through 8 or 9 different attempts to prove that to show why we rely on that halachically before it rejects everything we said. So, we begin on the second line on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Minaha Milsa Da'am Rabbanan Zil Basaruba. Where does this come from, this idea that we follow the majority? This is here, according to Tosfos, only because in the previous discussion we asked how you know about Chazaka. So once we say, how do you know about Chazaka, we ask, well, how do you know about Rove? But Tosfos also points out that there is a rule that Ruba V'Chazaka, Ruba Adif, that we go with Rove over Chazaka all the time. So in that case, once I know you rely on Chazaka, you know automatically that you rely on Rove. It's all the more logical to rely on Rove. But he says either we're going within the view that doesn't accept Chazaka, or within the idea that the reason why Rove trumps Chazaka is not logic, but it's Gzeras HaKasuv. It's from a pasuk and see Tosfos there for more about that. And since the idea of Rove trumping Chazaka is itself only from a pasuk, I can't necessarily deduce that just because Chazaka is available, therefore is usable, therefore Rove is usable. It isn't a matter of logic. It's a matter of psukim.
It's not that we don't accept Chazaka, it's just that we don't have a pasuk for Chazaka.
It's because it's Rabbi Yachav Bayakov that it doesn't have it from a pasuk. Did we conclude that Rabbi Yachav Bayakov liked Chazaka though? I had Rabbi Yachav Bayakov in my Gemara as actually rejecting the idea altogether. No.
You don't know about Chazaka?
Yeah. I mean, let me put it this way: we didn't have a conclusion, but he rejected everything we said in support of Chazaka. He didn't. It's not that he said, well, it's Svara, it's that he dropped it entirely. Now, it happens to be that all we attempted to prove was from a pasuk, right? From Tzaras, and he nixed it. But we don't have any indication that he accepts Chazaka at all.
I'm just reading Taisus.
I understand, the word Mikra is funny, you're right. That's true. Okay. So what do we do? Minah milsa damar abonan zil basaruba. So the Gemara says, Minalan? What do you mean, how do we know? The pasuk says, follow the majority. Granted, that's a completely different kind of majority. It's that I follow the majority of judges on a Beis Din. Nonetheless, the Gemara says, in any case, those cases are different. Why? The question is not where you have that majority in front of you. In other words, I can see the set. I have all the books in the box here. And I can see that it's common, that something is common to all of them, and I can see that this fits into the majority. This is the majority of cases. That's not my question. So Teisha Chanuyos, the classic case of the 9 stores, right? There are 10 stores that sell meat, and 9 of them sell kosher meat, and I see the piece in front of me, and I say that this is from the kosher ones. Then I serve it at lunch, and people are horrified. What in the world do you think you're doing? But nonetheless, at least in principle, I can assume that this came from the nine kosher stores, because those are stores that are known. I know the members of the set. or the Sanhedrin case, which again is a different kind of robe. But he says, lo kamabayalan, that's not our question. Ki kamabayalan ruba the lesse kamon. The question is, what about where the majority is not in front of us? In other words, I know this is a member of the set of all people, or the set of all grasshoppers, or whatever it is, and I want to make deductions about its characteristics based on what I know about the other members of the set out there in the world, but I don't really know anything about the other members of the set out there in the world. I'm making a lot of assumptions. In other words, if I were to say that the majority of all grasshoppers have a certain number of legs, because anecdotally I've seen a couple of grasshoppers and they have that number of legs, I haven't seen all the grasshoppers in the world. That's ruba de lesse kamon. It's a majority that's not in front of me. So that's what I want to know. How do you know that you can rely on majority in such cases? Kigon, for example, katan ukitana, an underage boy and girl. And Rashi explains, if you take a look over in Rashi, katan ukitana depligi rabbanon aleid Rabbi Meir v'yavamos, where there's a machlokas rabbanon and Rabbi Meir in Yavamos on the topic. This is not as the following Mishnah says, yavam katan shaba al yavama kitana. There's a yavam and there's a yavama, and they're both underage, and they live together. Yigadlu ze im ze. So they grow up together, we raise them together, and meaning we treat it as bona fide yibum. Velo chayshin an shema timatze ailonis al husaris v'imtza pogeya be'eshes achiv shalaba mako mitzvah. We don't worry that maybe one of them will turn out to be unable to have children, such that it's not a valid yibum. Why not? There are people who grow up to be unable to have children, so why don't I have to worry that he's a saris, she's an ailonis? And the answer is because rove people are not in that circumstance. That's the reason why. So we rely on Rove in a case like that, even though I don't have the majority of human beings in front of me to be able to say, well, most of them are not Saris or Islanders. How do you know that you're actually able to make such an evaluation that you can rely on Rove? Minalan, how do you know? How do we know? So, first attempt. Amar Rabbi Elazar says, Asya Meresha Shel Ola. We prove it based on the head of a Karban Ola. Domar Kra, because the Torah says regarding the Karban Ola, before you put it on the Mizbeach, you break it up into its components, into its pieces. But Osa Linisachel, we deduce, you break down it into its pieces, Velo Nisachel Linisachim, and you don't break down the pieces themselves into sub-pieces. So in other words, I'll separate the head from the body, but I'm not allowed to break down the head into parts. And the question is, V'nechosh Shema Nikav Krum Shel Malach. Maybe there's a hole in the membrane of the brain such that it should be a trefa, and you're never going to know because you're bringing your carbonola and you're not allowed to do the examination. You're not allowed to break open the head. So the fact that we use this and we put it on the Mizbeach indicates that we're willing to rely on the rove that most animals don't have punctures in the membranes of their brains. The answer is because we follow the majority. If you take a look at your chart, you'll see I put the cases in the right-hand column. I have to switch that around before I upload this chart. It's all backwards. I went right to left instead of left to right. But the cases are down there on the right column. So the head of an ola, the majority we're relying on is that most animals have intact brain membranes, and I know you rely on the majority because the pasuk says, "Vinitacho salas linisachah." Don't break it into its subparts. So that shows that you're relying on the majority.
Didn't you explain yesterday the difference between the kaharim and hakadosh baruch
hu? Yeah, but there it's in terms of relying on majority.
But here, this oil is kul Hashem.
No, in other words, you're right. But the fact that there, what we had said was that
looks after himself. But you said that,
right, Hashem looks after himself, and therefore Hashem isn't really relying on the majority.
So what's the right?
Because I'm doing the avoda. Because I'm doing the avoda. I think that would be the difference. It's a good point, but I think that's the difference. So that would be a way to prove that we rely on majority. That would be the idea. To which the Gemara says, we have an objection to that proof. Mimai, how do you know? Dilma defalile ubadakle. Maybe you crack it open a little bit and you check it. Ve'imishum osal inesachah v'lonesachah l'nesachim. And if you'll say, well, wait a minute, I'm not allowed to break down its parts into smaller parts. Hanimili echadachatikle legam. That would be cutting it entirely. But if you have the possibility of reattaching it, laif is that the crack is still not enough to separate them out. Rashi says mechubar. It's still joined. Less lanba. Then I wouldn't have a problem. So the answer is we don't necessarily rely on rove here. Maybe in fact they did check the carbon ola. I don't know. I'm post base hamikdash or pre base hamikdash. depending on how you look at it. And I haven't the familiarity to know whether they were checking it or not. It's possible that they checked it within halacha. I brought in a footnote on your sheet. The Yismach Yisrael is cited in the Margolios Hashas as saying regarding the oil that we get for the menorah and the Beis Hamikdash, we say kasis lamaor. You pound the olives for illumination and not for menachos. So he said al derech drash. We pound ourselves kasis to make ourselves shine, a lama or, not to make ourselves feel terrible, like menachos, to be nach, to be low. And similarly here, we do a cheshbon for nesachim. We break ourselves down into parts to analyze ourselves, but we don't go in nesachim and nesachim. Don't analyze yourself too closely. It's too depressing. You may not like what you find. That's what he said. The Rishul Shinover says, our assumption here is that most animals are not trefos, most animals are kosher. So he's bothered, as was the Bnei Yisachar, as were others, by the fact that when you get later on in history, we find most animals are considered trefos, they get rejected. So how is it that in those times, most animals were considered to be kosher, and later on, most animals were considered trefos? So he says, the animals are like the people. In Noach's time, he says, in Noach's time, you can only find two animals of each variety that hadn't sinned. In the time of the Mishnah, you have great Tanoim around, so the animals tend to be kosher. Later on, Lav Davka. An interesting answer. Mar Brei Deravino Omar.
He tells us about Shabbos.
Yes, that's coming. That's not yet. That's the next one. The next piece. Yeah, you'll see why. Mar Brei Deravino gives me a second approach. Mar Brei Deravino Omar Asya Mishviras Etzem BePesach. Same idea, same concept, but from the head of the Karban Pesach and the issue of not breaking a bone in the Karban Pesach. The Amar Rachmana VeEtzem Losish Beruvo. The Torah says you're not allowed to break a bone. Here the issue is not whether it's complete or not. So you can say I crack it. You can't even crack it because you're not allowed to break a bone. V'Necha Shem Anikav Krum Shamach. I should have to worry that maybe again there's a hole in the membrane of the brain. Elalav Mishum De'Amrina and Zilbasaruba. The answer must be we follow the majority. To which the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know? I object to that proof. Dilma demanach gumarto ale vekali layubadikle. Maybe what you do is you put a coal on the skull of the animal, and that will melt through the skull, and that's the way you'll check. In other words, the halacha is you're not allowed to break the bone. It means an act of breaking it, what we call breaking it, not melting a hole in it or causing it to split from the heat of this coal. I'm not sure which would actually take place. Kalile is an expression of burning. But the Sanya, as the Brisa continues to say, if you have a carbon Pesach and you cut the sinews, which as Rashi notes are tough like bones, that's not called breaking the bones. And if you burn the bones, that's also not called breaking the bones. So so maybe that's the way that I get into the skull to check the membrane. Lav dafka. Trefa is a list of trefos in the Gemara that we actually identify as the signs that an animal is a trefa, regardless of what's going to happen to it. And in addition to that, there's a debate, we'll see it in the Gemara, not today, but we'll see ramifications of it in the Gemara, as to whether trefa chaya, whether a trefa can live past 12 months or not. We'll see. In fact, that we do hold la halacha that a trefa cannot live 12 months. That is a halachic statement, but it's not the definition of trefa. Trefa is those wounds that we'll identify in the third parak as trefa.
What's going to happen again here? Right now you're doing something.
Right, it's already dead now.
Oh,
right.
I simply look at the
no, because maybe it became a trefa just
now.
Yeah, we're getting to that, Alan. We're getting there. Matel's going to have to leave in 4 minutes, so let's get him some Gemara. But we'll see. We're going to see that discussion later on. Don't hold the thought. Hold the thought, because it's coming up. So that's the idea. So the Gemara objects and says, you do have a way to check, so therefore, maybe it's not true that you rely on Rov. Tosfos, their model, is the one who says you could do this on Shabbos. His question is, you're using a coal on the skin of the animal.
When you bring a rye from Rov from Ola, why don't you bring it from a carbon that you bring on Shabbos? Right? Tosfos right before that.
Yeah. Which one are you looking at?
Abel-Hecha.
Oh, you're talking about Abel-Hecha. Yeah. He said it would override Shabbos.
That's
what Hashem decreed to you to do. Correct. 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 Okay, the Malach Gumarta is the one on this one in Shabbos. Okay, understood. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Asya Me Elio. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, I'll get it from a third case, the case of the tail fat from a shlamim or the tail fat from a chatos, the Amar Rachmana, where the Torah says, Chelboha al Yasimima. You take the entire tail fat, timimah, complete, and that's what you're putting on the mizbeach. Right? Remember the story by Psachim and the that fellow wanted the tail fat. So the point is, right, you put it on the Mizbeach, and Rashi notes, Karev Elia im ha'emurim min ha'klayos ulamata latzad ha'zanav. You're pulling out the kidneys of the animal and all the parts there, all the way down towards the tail and the tail itself. So v'lecha shema nifsika chut ha'shedra. And the concern that I have is that one of the trefos is if the spine is split, but you're keeping the tail fat intact. You're never going to be able to check it. Isn't it because we depend on rof? So, and if you'll tell me that what you actually do is you cut it down close to the tail, and that's the part you're taking out and have to leave intact, right? You can't do that because the Torah says you cut it lumat he'otzeh by the otzeh, and the Gemara has a play on the word he'otzeh to explain what that is, the place where the kidneys provide eitzah. This idea of the kidneys providing eitzah is fascinating because there's actually been research on a point that's related to it. We're not going to go into it now, but I have to come back to it at a later date because it's too fascinating to miss. But the idea is that the kidneys are doing something when you're taking counsel. So he says that if that's the idea, and you're relying on the idea that the spine is intact because you're cutting out of this entire section there and leaving that intact. Mimai, how do you know that that's proof though? Dilma de pasach la ubadik la. Maybe you open it up and check it. Ve'imishum to mima. And if you'll say it has to be whole, has to be intact. Hani mili echa dechat chalagamri. That only means that you can't cut it entirely. Aval echa delay if less lamba. But if it's still mechuber, if it's still joined, it will be okay. So we reject our third proof. Now we're going to get to the next set of proofs, which the Gemara is not going to immediately reject. Rav Sheshes Breder of Idi, he's also known sometimes as Rav Shisha Breder of Idi. Amar, he said, Asya me egla arufa. Prove it from the egla arufa. De Amar Rachmana ha arufa. The Torah says it shall be ha arufa, the one that has its neck broken. Kishi shlema tehevi. We understand ha arufa to indicate that it has to be whole, but until it's not whole anymore. But the point is that it has to be kept whole. And Rashi says, afila akar arufa olamis. Even after you actually do the arefa of this calf, you're never allowed to break up the body. V'lecha shdoma trefahi. Why don't have to worry that it's actually a trefa? El alav mishum de'aminan zil basaruba. It's because we follow rof. V'chitema maynaf gamina. And if you'll tell me why, let it be a trefa. Who cares? No. Ha'amri the ve'rabiyana. They send the yeshiva rabiyana kapara ksivba kikachim. The Torah uses the word kapara regarding the egla arufa. Therefore, it has to be like karbanos. And by karbanos, it's Mimashke Yisrael. It has to be what a Jew could eat, and therefore it has to be kosher. It can't be a trefa. So that seems to be an adequate proof, but it doesn't stop us from bringing another six. Paraduma, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Asya Misoyer. I'm sorry, I jumped. Rav Shila Amar Asya Mipara Aduma. Rav Bar Shila says, we deduce it from Paraduma. The Amar Rachmana Vishachat Visaraf. The Torah says Vishachat, .. It's actually a while later, it says Visaraf. You shall shecht it and you shall burn it. Mashchitasa kishi shlema, asreifasa kishi shlema. You shecht it when it's whole, so too you burn it when it's whole. And again, I don't worry that it's a trefa. V'lechashdom a trefa. Why am I not worried that it might be a trefa? El alav mishum darminan zil basaruba. Isn't it because we say follow the majority? V'chitema maynaf gamina. And if you'll say, who cares whether it's a trefa? Chatas karyei rachmana. The Torah used the word chatas there, and all the laws of the chatas will pertain specifically that it has to be intact. So that shows that we rely on it. So here are a couple of great things. The Tosus asks that you have a chazaka that it's not a trefa because it's already 2 years old and a trefa doesn't live a year. And he says that shows that a chazaka which has not been known with clarity doesn't work. It has to be a clear chazaka, and here you don't have a clear chazaka. And he talks about that if you milk cows and then you make cheese, and then it turns out that one of the cows was a trefa, ruining the chazaka. It's an interesting tosis, but I wanted to tell this great story of the Leib Simcha, the fifth Gera Rebbe. He was asked by a chassid on an Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas. So Parshas Chukas is where you have Paraduma. This is a great story. If we had learned this last week, you could have told us over at your Shabbos table. You can still tell it at your Shabbos table. But he was asked by a chassid on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, whether he should undergo an x-ray for a certain thing he had. And he said, yes, the Parsha Tashavua. And his Talmidim get together and say, what did the Rebbe mean? But no one goes back to him to ask him. But they sat down and they figured it out. They understood. The Yonasan Ben Uziel on the Parsha says, it's Perek Yutes Pasuk Gimel, that they check the animal for the 18 trefos. How can you check for the 18 trefos? We just learned that it has to be v'shachat v'saraf. You're keeping it intact. So if you take a look in Tosus and Shabbos, they're talking about the light of the menorah, v'chila ora hutzarech, that Hashem doesn't need the light of the menorah, and we don't need the light of the menorah. We travel by Hashem's light in the Midbar. So Tosus there quotes a medrash from the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Pekudei, that in the Midbar we had special light from Hashem such that you could look at an object and know what was inside. So what the Gera Rebbe meant, clearly, was that the x-ray was, you look at the Parah Aduma, and they would know that it didn't have a mum, but you didn't have to open it up, because v'shachad v'saraf, you weren't allowed to open it up. That was the fifth Gera Rebbe's idea, that the x-ray was a reference to the way they checked the Parah Aduma. That's the Parashat HaShavua. It's a very interesting insight, so to speak. In any case, The point is for us that the Parah Aduma is a proof that you can rely on Rov, because they don't worry that it might have a mum. Granted that maybe they were checking it inside in the Midbar using the X-rays, the post Midbar they didn't have the X-rays available. So at that point they're really relying on Rov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, here's Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Omar, he says, the Asya Misara Mishtalayach, we're one line up from the bottom. You do it from the scapegoat of Yom Kippur. The Rachmana Omar Valakacha Shnei Asi'irim Shushnei Mishavim. The Torah says, take the two goats, and we say they have to be alike. The fact that they are alike doesn't seem to be particularly relevant here, as you'll see. I'm not clear on why we even need to mention those three words. Velechosh Dilma. No, it's not. Hang on. No, take a look. That's why I'm arguing with you. V'leichosh dilma chad minayu trefo. Why don't I have to worry that one of them, meaning the Sar Lazazel specifically, is a trefo? Rashi notes it's not the Sar Lashem, because you know this carbon. Elalav mishum de'amrinan is zil basaruba. Rather, it's because you follow the majority. V'chitem amaynaf galon mina. And if you'll say, why do we care? This is where it should have said, shtushnem shavim, and it doesn't. The ha'en goro kovei Lazazel elabedavar haroi Lashem. The goro, the Lazazel, lottery only works to establish the Sar Lazazel if it is something that would be suitable to be brought as a carbon to Hashem. Mm-hmm. Unless you guys tell me that that's because Shneim Shavin. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe. Maybe it's because we require Shavin. Right. So maybe that's how he knows that it has to be. Royal Hashem is because they have to be the same. Okay. So that'll explain what those three words are doing there. But the point is, you can't have a mum. You can't have a mum. You can't have a sign of a trefa in the Sayer La Azazel, but you're not going to be able to check it. If you're going to tell me that you check the Sayer La Azazel, I wish you a lot of luck. The thing used to break halfway down. There was no way you were going to be able to check that Sayer La Azazel. Any if it didn't have a trefa at the time when you're at the top of the thing, you have a trefa by the time you're a little way down. Rav Mari gives me a seventh approach. Asya mimake aviv v'imo. The law of someone who commits patricide, he murders his father. Damar Rachmana Katle, and specifically the father because of the next line. The Damar Rachmana Katle, the Torah says, you execute him. The person strikes. It's not patricide. I shouldn't have written that on the sheet. It's someone who strikes a parent. Right, it's someone who strikes a parent. I have to correct that. On the sheet. It happens. But the point is that we're going to execute him. Maybe I should be concerned that maybe it's not his father. It's not really dad. It's somebody else. Right? We can't prove that it's his father. No, that's the next discussion in the Gemara, but it won't apply here. Well, hitting the father who's a trefa, well, is still usher. Yeah. The answer is you follow the majority, and we assume, in general, that the mother was with the father. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that we're relying on Rov? Maybe it's where the father and the mother were in jail. They were isolated from everybody else, and therefore we know that this father is the only one, and that's the only case in which we'll execute the person who hits his father, is if in fact we can prove that was his biological father. To which the Gemara says that wouldn't work as proof. Even if they were isolated in jail, that wouldn't work. Afilo achi ein apotropos l'arayos. There's no way to guard against arayos, and therefore, even if they're isolated in a prison, we don't know for a fact that it's the father. Tosfos adds that in addition to the Gemara's suggestion that it's where they were isolated, you could also say the mother has a chazaka of being a tzaddikus. And therefore, I would have never assumed that it was the somebody else other than the husband. Yeah.
Doesn't that create a much more fundamental issue without any marriage? Period, if you ask that question.
Right. Period. Yes. It would wreak havoc with the halachic system to make such an assumption. Yeah.
I have a general question. You seem to be, in the concept of Rov here, you're talking about situations where the overwhelming majority would be a certain way, and it would be only a statistically insignificant number that would be the other way.
Yes.
Is that a conscious definition of Rov?
As opposed to 51-49?
Minority is statistically insignificant?
Well, I don't know the statistics on Trafos, for example, so I don't actually know that it's a tiny, tiny mute. For those cases, the father one, I'm willing to accept what you're saying, but I'm not so sure that's true with the Trefos. The Gemara is not going to put numbers on it. It's okay because we're going to reject all of them in the end. So the but I hear what you're saying. I don't know what the numbers are. It's an interesting point. Maybe we just want something clear cut. Rav Kahana Amar Asya Mehore Ges HaNefesh. This is why I ended up putting in murder by accident, because of the next line. Rav Kahana Amar Asya Mehore Ges HaNefesh. He says it comes from a case of murder. Dam Rachmana Katle, where the Torah says we execute him. V'lechesh Dama Trefahava. But why don't I worry that maybe the murder victim was a Trefa? And the one who murders a Trefa is not himself subject to the death penalty. You see that we follow the majority. And if you're going to tell...
Is he allowed to
kill
him?
I'm sorry?
He's trefa.
No, you're not allowed to kill him, but you're not subject to the death penalty. Yeah, it's not murder one. And if you're going to tell me, well, we check the victim, how come minval? You can't check the victim. You'll wreck his body if you check him, right? And if you'll tell me, well, you know what? It's worth it in order to save the life of the murderer. The truth is, I agree with you. We do that. We do nivel hames in order to save lives. Those who tell you that you can't donate an organ, I'm not talking about the ones that are controversial in terms of is the person really dead or not, but a person who says that we wouldn't save a life based on the organ of someone who died because of nivel hames is against the Spefarish Gemara. The Gemara says we absolutely would. Nimbalay, we will do Nival Hames. The problem is that it won't work here. Because maybe he stabbed the guy or he cut the guy with a sword and that's the spot where the hole was. There's your tiny mute. So therefore, checking him won't work. We simply assume that the murder victim was not a trefa. Tosas discusses that maybe the rotzeach was a trefa. He has that discussion, but I want to go right to here to get through. Ravina gives me a ninth attempt at proof. We get it from Edim Zomamin. The Torah says, due to him, the aid, as he had plotted to do to his intended victim. So there, if Edim Zomamin testify to get somebody killed, they don't succeed, then we kill the Edim Zomamin. Why don't I worry that maybe the person they were attempting to indict was actually himself a trefa? Why don't I worry about that? And Tosfos says, if you'll say to wait 12 months to see if he lives, right, then that will mean that in murder cases in general, we'll need to wait 12 months to ascertain that he's not a trefa. In which case, we'll need to worry about whether he became a trefa at the end of the 12 months. It's going to become a mess. He knows he might get free. I don't know. The answer is we follow the majority. And if you're going to tell me that we actually check him for signs of a trefa, that won't work. Why? Because he's still alive. Right? He's alive. Vatanya, as the Baraisa says, Berebi Omer. Berebi is a term we use to mean big Talmud Chacham. Rashi says, we don't know who specifically this was. It was a big Talmud Chacham, Omer. Lo Hargo, Neragin. Hargo einharagin. If their intended victim was if the intended victim survived, then they get killed. If he got killed, then we don't kill them. We don't execute them. So therefore, we have no way to check him for trefos, because some of the trefos require that you open him up, the pre-X-ray or post-X-ray from the midbar. So therefore, that's another proof. Last attempted proof, Rav Ashi Amar, Asim Bishchita Atzma. Rav Ashi says, look at any case of Shchita. Dam Rachman, Shchot Ve'achol. The Torah says, Shecht and eat. V'lecha Shema B'mekom Nekev Kashachit. Why don't you worry? That may be. You did the Shchita, and there was a hole in that spot just before you did the Shchita. El Amishum Dermin and Zil Basaru, but we follow the majority. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Amris L'shmaisa Kamedi Rav Kahana. He says, I told this to Rav Kahana before, in front of Rav Kahana. Varmi Rav Kahana, Mikamedi Rav Simi, Rav Kahana said in front of Rav Simi, bless you. V'amar Lei, but the response from either Rav Kahana or Rav Simi was, the Dilma Hecha de Efsher Efsher, Hecha de Lo Efsher Lo Efsher. Maybe the truth of the matter is we only follow Rove where we have no other option. Like in the case of the Egla Rufa, the Paraduma, where I have to keep it intact. I don't have other choices. Di lo te ma'achi, because if you don't believe that, bless you. Rabbi Meir, dechayish lemiyuta, hachanami de loachal bisra. Rabbi Meir says, I always worry about the minority, not miyuta de miyuta. So evidently these are straight miyut. But Rabbi Meir is concerned about minorities. Hachanami de loachal bisra. So did he never eat meat? Because maybe the shechita was done, you know, of a an animal that actually had a nekev there. V'chitei machinami, and if you tell me Rabbi Meir was a vegetarian, Pesach v'kutshe ma'ika l'memer, what would he do with a carbon Pesach? And what would he do about bringing a carbon? Ela hecha de efsher efsher, hecha de lo efsher lo efsher. Where you can do something about it, you do something about it, and you check, you don't rely on the majority. Well, you can't, you can't. That's Rabbi Meir. And hachanami, the same thing should be true for us. Hecha de efsher efsher, hecha de lo efsher lo efsher. In all these cases, we didn't have another choice, and that's why we relied on the majority. But maybe, in fact, when you have other options, you're not supposed to rely on the majority. So the Gemara concludes by not actually having an answer. Rashi says, don't despair. Rashi says we do rely on majority. If you take a look at Rashi, the end of the last wide line on top, Lididanami hecha yafina mine. How can we deduce from it? Ela vaday halacha lemoshe misinaihu. The samchin and aruba. Rashi says it's a halacha lemoshe misinai that we depend on rov. The samchin and aruba afilu hecha de efsher that we depend on rov even when we have other options. Inami alternatively achre rabim lahatos. Maybe we get it from achre rabim lahatos. Mashma bein ruba de ise kaman bein ruba de lese kaman. Maybe we're getting it from achre rabim lahatos. That's how we do it. The Maishna, and he said whether it's Ise Kaman, Ben Ruba, Lese Kaman, the Maishna Hameha, because after all, I have no reason to distinguish. The Aha Milsa Samchinan, important lines in Rashi. The Aha Milsa Samchinan, we depend on this. V'lo Bad Chinan call Yurches Trefos. When we do a Shchita, we don't check for all 18 possible Trefos. Unakuvas Hareya, but specifically the concern for puncture in a lung, Mishum Deshchiach Bareyasa Bad Chinan, because it's common that things go wrong, we check, right? The whole glot discussion. But if it turns out that the lung was taken away and we couldn't do anything about it, we couldn't check, misachla, then we do eat it. Disamchinan aha, because we depend on this. And Rav Huna's comment that we made before, that once an animal's been shechted, we assume that it is mutter. Ve'ein mefarsimim hadavar. And he says, we don't publish this. We don't want to let people know that we're willing to rely where the lungs disappeared. We don't want to let people know that, other than by putting it in our commentary on Shas, by the way. But in general, this isn't something that we publicize. Yes. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So the upshot of all of this is we reject all of these as proofs because maybe those are hecha de lo efsher. Where it's possible, then we say that it's either halachu mashmi Sinai or achmer ben latos.